Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's an honor and a privilege to be back here. And we are humbled by God to be here. And it's really a privilege, and we give God all the glory. Thank you, Pastor Allen, and your wife for hosting us today. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am really blessed with the worship, what we all have sung. And I believe God is about to do something in our midst. And if we stay in that kind of expectancy, you know what? A while ago, I felt the glory moving in this place. And then I saw the worship team singing about the glory of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Wow. Okay, today I want to speak on the topic, an awakening is about to happen. An awakening is about to happen. In Matthew 5:6, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness.
Amen.
For they shall be what? Filled. In John 6:35, it says, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Do you know that something is happening in the atmosphere? Even in the atmosphere of this church, there's that sweet presence of God roaming around.
Yes.
And I don't know if some of you smell the fragrance of the Spirit of God. Yes. Amen. So something is happening in the atmosphere today. You can feel it. You can sense it. Something is changing. And it involves the work of the hand of God. It's not by might or by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
God is doing a secret work in our day. There is a stirring up going on in our hearts and for the people of God. A hunger is being stirred up in their hearts, causing our hearts to hunger and cry for more of Him. Do you feel that hunger today?
Yes.
I think 10 people only felt that hunger. Do you feel that hunger today?
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He's raising up a hungry people who are growing more and more dissatisfied with the flesh and the system of this world, as it now exists even in the church. These hungry people are saying among themselves, this is not it. I want more. It's not it. Are you saying the same?
Yeah, I want more.
Amen. Praise God. There's something more, that's why. What happened to the church and its sensationalism has left us empty and dry. We want more. More than entertainment. More than big, showy buildings. More than a shallow celebrity gospel or a showdown way of worship. God will not accept such one. We want deeper values.
Yeah.
We want to see Jesus. Do you want to see Jesus?
Amen.
Yeah.
You really want to see Jesus?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. I'll pray in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
God will open your eyes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We want spotless robes of righteousness. We want to go back to doing things in total dependence on God. Wow.
Oh,
wow. Did you hear that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We want to go back to doing things in total dependence on God. I sense this happening all over the world today. Disillusioned Christians searching for reality. The people in the pew are beginning to fast and pray. There are those ones who whipped between the porch and the altar. And they are crying out for more depth, more of the eternal values from the pulpit. There is a hunger being, you know, being birthed in our hearts, or either in every children of God around the world today. And it is the doing of God's hand. It is the hand of the Lord doing this. I know for a fact that numerous ministers share their own desperate hunger for a deeper work of God in the church and the ministry today. There seems to be a secret underground network of men of God who are stripping themselves down, humbling themselves, and getting back into the secret closet of prayer, crying, praying, and turning back to their first love to the Lord.
Yes.
There are numbers of ministers of different denominations who are praying up to 6 and 8 hours a day. They are crying, fasting, and seeking God because God is creating a hunger in their hearts. Some of these dear men and women of God grieve over their own spiritual condition and even the condition of the body of Christ today. And God is revealing to all praying people that a glorious new work of the Spirit of God is about to break forth. Do you believe
yes,
that?
Yes, I believe it.
Yes. Peace in Jesus' name. Dream of it, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Once you close your eyes, see it in the spirit. It's coming forth. It's gonna break. It's gonna break. It's gonna break. You and I are part of it. Amen. God is going to shake everything that can be shaken. He will turn down the old political backslidden religious system. He will disown the formal super church structure. He will chase out of his presence all who are engaging in self-promoting ministries, who use the ways of the world to attract people to attend their church. It doesn't work that way, saints. We all know that. The word said in 2 Peter 4:6, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Be honest, saints. Are you really satisfied with your spiritual condition today?
No.
Amen. Yes, no. Even the religious system today, some are, but most are not getting their needs met. I believe we have gotten off the track of true spirituality. The spiritual leanness of so many Christians today is a direct result of getting into the flesh, trying to do kingdom work in our own power with worldly methods, resulting to a what? Worldly church. As we see all over, mostly. Our bodies are becoming perverted. Why? Because we cannot let go of the world. We cannot mix God and mammon, mixing God and the world. Saints, if you will be for God, be for God. If you will be for the world, be for the world. But don't play half enough. Don't play with God. Because if you do, you will be judged. And God will touch the apple of our eye. We need to repent, go back to God, to righteous living, before it's too late. We need to repent while we still have time. Get rid of the things that can grieve the heart of God. Stop playing with your salvation. Stop fooling people. Stop manipulating and lying to people. Stop, please stop. And get this dealt with by God till it will lead us to repentance. And go back to holy living and righteousness. Go back to your first love. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
I love that song that says, take me back to my first love. To the place where I once was. Where passion was just obeying.
Yeah.
Where prayer was sweet, the sweetest thing I know. Take me to the place of my first love with you.
Whoa.
I know all of us, okay, all of us have first love. Amen?
Amen.
When you are so much in love, okay, you don't care. Okay. You don't care on all the things that surround you. Hallelujah. Amen. You are focused on your first love. Amen. You treat going to school up. You don't care. Okay. You're focused on your first love. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us go back to our first love. shame on us if we play with our salvation.
Yeah.
We are substituting temporal values for eternal ones. We have evangelists and teachers who specialize in telling believers how much God owes them. Material blessings are magnified. It's all about money, money, money. And the spiritual ones are minimized. According to some, it is our right to be rich, successful, and immune to all pain. Nothing is wrong with money, but if you worship money, and you make money your God, that is when it is wrong. Remember, Jesus has eyes as flame of fire.
Yes.
Beloved, how much of that teaching will stand up before the judgment seat of Christ? There is a growing inner knowledge in me that most of our modern self-centered teaching is going to be consumed before the flaming eyes of the Son of God. John, in his vision of the Son of God, saw an awesome light. In Revelation 1:14, it says, his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And on verse 17 it says, I fell at his feet as dead. That's how powerful, okay, how powerful the eyes of Jesus are. Will any of us as teachers, evangelists, or pastors, or even just being a Christian, be able to stand before those piercing eyes of flaming fire? Can any Christian look at him in the eyes? No ego can withstand his gaze. No self-centered dreams can go unexposed. All things done in secret will be exposed in the light of his holiness. Holiness. That's why the angels kept saying, holy, 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 on the throne of God. When God showed me his throne with the 24 elders, he was seated on the throne, and those angels kept saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord.
Amen.
All secret sin will be exposed as a terrible abomination in his sight. All the things we have accumulated will be burned. All the great works we have done for him with such zeal and sweat will also be burned. How important is what you are doing to God's kingdom? God can give you the desire of your heart, but send meanness to your soul. God assisted Israel in their desire to have a king, but he later disciplined them for their selfish motives. Are you in some kind of competitive race? Are you doing things for God just to keep up with others? In eternity, looking back, how really necessary will it all be then? Children of God, what is the good of what you and I are doing? Do we have motives based on eternal values? If we truly believe the end of all things is upon us, what should we be doing about purging our values? Mm-hmm. What is it going to take to wake up and get us out of the drift toward ease and comfort? You know, if you live in a third world country, comfort is a blessing.
Yeah.
But most of the time, it is hardship. Hello?
Yeah.
I confess to you that it has taken me years for me to live only for eternal values. It caused God to deal with me and led me to know eternal values. I grieve when I think back on the time and money I wasted trying to build something tangible for God. I wanted something people could see. How important I thought those buildings were to God's kingdom. I convinced myself God deserves the best. He does. but not in bricks, mortar, and steel. He deserves the best of our time, of our heart, of our desires, of all our motives and longing and crying and yieldedness to Him. He deserves our breath, our strength, our desires, our love, our time, our heartbeat, the heartbeat of our heart, and where and to whom that heartbeat beats. He deserves all of us, our whole being. He deserves our very life. Do you understand that, thing? Do you understand that?
Yes.
Thank you for the 15 people who understand it. Do you really understand that?
Yes.
Amen. I need to know if you understand that, so that I can go on. He deserves our very life.
Yeah.
Thank God for the day the Spirit revealed to us how shallow our values were. We've spent 15 years planning programs, going to different places, conducting crusades, conferences, Christian camps all over the Philippines, even running all over the world, trying to show how important to His kingdom, how important we are to His kingdom. All the while our reputation grew as ministers of faith and vision, yet after each new project we felt a letdown. No sooner was one project finished and we are already planning another one. We were an idea man of God. We had more ideas than any preacher. Ideas on how to evangelize. Imagine if we want to evangelize the whole university, the biggest university in our city, in our county. You know what we did? We enrolled in that university.
That's good.
Me and my husband, just to reach it. And we were able to do it. I know by the help of God. From the owner of the president of the university, the president, down to the teachers, to the students, they all accepted the Lord when we did that the drama presentation of the Son of God.
Wow.
We have a lot of ideas. We would go in on the streets in the market. We would tell our team, these young people, we had a drama, just one will go on that place and point up, and then another one will go and get, until we will form a group pointing up. Of course, the people walking will think, what are we doing? And then they say, why, what's up there? And then one will preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is coming.
Wow.
And then they will accept the Lord. See, all those ideas. We have them. Amen. Ideas on how to evangelize, imagine. Enrolling into a university. How to organize New Testament programs. We did all these things. Torch Run. We have Torch Run, okay? We partnered with Y1. To organize a torch run in our city, to organize these young people to run all over the city and then end up in one place to do a big crusade. Mm. You know how many torch runners we were able to have to run all over the city holding the torch of Y1? Because Y1, brought one torch, okay, to different countries to do torch run. And when they are in the plane, that torch, that the fire of that torch, you can, it's still always on fire. So it's always on. They took that in the airplane with a permit.
Oh.
And that is the fire that we will use to fire the torch. So we were able to gather 15,000 young people
to
run all over the city.
Wow.
Musical drama concerts. Evangelism, conference to different countries. Okay. We did a crusade in Hong Kong. I will mention Our crusade in Hong Kong, because most of our brethren are Chinese,
okay.
Way back December 26, 1996, before the turnover. We did it in Statue Park, if you know Statue Park in Hong Kong. When we did that crusade, okay, in Statue Park, there were a lot of people that came in that crusade. And you know what? We were surprised. CNN News came just to take video on us. And it was on the news the next day that that thing, that crowd, is the biggest crowd that happened in Hong Kong. So these programs and ideas were successful enough to entrap us and keep us on the treadmill of what? Business. But all along my heart yearned for more. At the end of the day, I would cry for more of Him. Such a longing and hunger in my heart cries for Him. I knew the blessing was not in building projects, events, and concerts and conferences, although God has blessed us. Not in some well-planned scheme to reach the lost. Not in bigness, not in activity, not in how successful you are in the ministry. Not in the numbers of people, not on how popular you are, or how much you have done. I discovered the hard way that the glory of God, the love, peace, joy of the Spirit was in when God begins to deal with you. It was in being stripped down, emptied, and made me totally weak. And found out that in weakness, you will learn that He is strong.
Amen.
Jesus is strong. God has to expose all my values. He turned His flaming eyes on my soul and showed me I had better reject my old way of doing things and be lost in a maze of self-imposed activity. You know now, my greatest joy is in being intimate with Him and waiting upon Him for direction. I have made time to be alone with Him and have prepared my soul to abide in His quiet presence, in hungering and longing for Him,
right,
till I will learn to hear His voice. Do you know why we stayed here? Do you know, we have been here for almost 3 years now. Okay? We came here last April of 2022 just to report with our green card. Okay? Just to stay for 3 months and then go back to the Philippines because we have a church in the Philippines that we built. And we're supposed to go home July 28th of 2022. Back to the Philippines because we have a network of more than 100 churches there when we are doing revival around the Philippines. So they know when we go back, because we already talk about it, we will do revival in the Philippines. So July 28, 2022, we need to go back to the Philippines. On the second week of July, we did 2 Bible study at Pastor Rodney's church. He requested that while you are here. So after the 2 Bible study, he said, can you please say, maybe the Lord, you know, will open a church. But I told him we need to go home. But on that second week of July, we were in our bedroom where we are staying. I'm doing something and then I heard a voice. He said, prepare for Cupertino. Cupertino is where the house of Pastor Ronnie is because we did 2 Bible study there. Prepare for Cupertino. I'm about to do something there. The second one is revival. Revival is about to happen. But the big blow will be next year onwards. And then the third, one of your mentors, I have to get him into glory. So you know what? Those 3 things happened. When I heard that voice, I said, hi, I said, and then my husband asked me why. And then I told him. You know, when you hear the voice of God, whatever is in front of you, you're going to live it. Isn't it? So we obeyed. We did not go home. And we started Bible study in Cupertino. Since we started the Bible study in Cupertino, I don't know where these people are coming from. The living room was filled with people, the dining, the kitchen, and we had to do an overflow on the backyard. So, and during service, during praise and worship, we were just singing, and then and people are getting healed. A lot of people got healed, and surgeries are being, you know, they are being canceled because they're getting healed.
Amen.
They don't need knee surgery, you know. A woman with stage 4 cancer, okay, she came, and then after that, the next week, she came back, and she told us, the doctor just told her, she's cancer free.
Wow.
You have a brand new lung. She has stage 4 cancer. A lot of these things have happened, okay. So it's letting us sense what the Spirit is saying to this generation.
Amen.
The more He empties me, the more He fills me with desire to totally depend only on Him for everything. Depend on Him for everything. That's when I started making him my best friend. If what do you do with your best friend? You always talk to him. Isn't it? You always tell him your secret. You always tell him everything that is in your heart. So I started doing that. I always talk to him. I always talk to him. I said, Lord, good morning. So what do you want me to do today? And then, you know, in the Philippines, he would tell me, get your car, drive. So I just drove. I don't know where to go. I was just listening to him. And then after that, he said, stop. So I did. Go back. So I did, okay? So I went back and then go to the house of so-and-so.
Wow.
The moment you turn on the bell, they are waiting for you. So I did. So the moment I turned the bell, when they opened the door, the whole family started crying. And I said, why are you guys crying? Because we are praying that God will send somebody to pay for us. The whole family got baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And then I said, oh Lord, I love this, talking to you always. Amen. Okay? Never stop talking to Him until you will be accustomed to His voice.
Amen.
He will tell you. And then one time he told me, do you see that old man with that old bike? Yes, Lord, he's very old and he's still riding that bike. And Lord, he's shaking. The whole bike is shaking. The Lord told me, stop your car. Give your money to him.
Wow.
Then I did it. Amen. You know, I find so much fulfillment in this. Because I know that I know. I'm hearing from God, and I know that I know I'm doing the will of the Lord.
Amen.
I prayed for a guy because I heard he suffered so much growing up. He was abused so much growing up.
Wow.
So I prayed for him. Father, I said, I pity this guy. Please have mercy on him. Can you give him grace to be able to know you? And he will be saved. And through your saving grace, he will be renewed and be restored. And you know, he did. Amen. You will feel the heartbeat of God beating in your heart for people.
Amen.
I see now, along the Lord was waiting for me to lay down all my plans, all my ambitions, all my talents, all my abilities, all my wisdom, all my strength. Do you know what I really want to do? You know, when it goes to events, you know, making the script for the musical drama, and also, you know what, composing new songs, because they will be part of the musical drama, Christian musical drama.
Amen.
But I have to die to that. And all the strength and abilities, giftings, talents, and wisdom be given over to him as a bond slave. The sweat is now gone. The pressure is off. He is recreating all my values. What is only left is an insatiable hunger and longing and love for him. It is through him where I find true satisfaction. It is only in him alone. My soul finds its satisfaction in dwelling in his presence and be lost there forevermore. Now, what will happen when God begins to shake everything that can be shaken? Because there will be a final shaking. Amen? When all false values tumble and earthly dreams and plans lose their meaning. Sadly, many of God's children are going to end up bewildered and confused. As the world moves into an era of economic collapse, when persecution falls even upon civilized nations, when governments are convulsing and tottering on the brink of total collapse, where there is raging wars and chaos all over, how many Christians will survive the test? I think we're experiencing a little bit of this now. Hello?
Yeah.
A lot of God's people are going to wonder where they are. Ministers who are caught up in the trap of human vision will leave the ministry confused and all their work to no avail. Multitudes will be asking, what is this all about? What's happening? What does the future hold? Where are we? Who can tell us the mind of God? We are now moving swiftly into what we know as the end time. We had better be in possession of a heavenly vision of holiness and humility, of intimacy, of knowing him and who he is and what he is. The testing time is coming down upon us with lightning speed. Wow. Haven't you noticed that? What if persecution comes? Will you deny him? Will you be willing to die? To die for him?
Yes.
It is going to take more than a doctrine or a particular teaching to see us through. We are going to have to really know the Lord in his fullness. We had better have our eyes on eternal values. Our spiritual things are going to remain. Only spiritual people will understand what is happening and not faint. We must be linked up with the mind of the Spirit. And so we will not be thrown by the radical changes that are coming. We must bring ourselves to the place where we have nothing else to lose. We need to walk away from all the junk in our lives. We are going to lose it all anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
How much of God do you possess in this final hour of disintegration and fear? How earthly are you? How much of worldliness do you have in you? How transitory are your desires? Have your values been sifted and purged by the Spirit of the Almighty God? How much of the world interests you? How much time is consumed in chasing after things that don't matter to God and to your spirit? How much time do you spend in the internet, that you cannot live without it? Ask yourself, to whom much of your time is spent is your God? Come ask yourself.
Mm.
The Lord brought me to end time restlessness. My spirit was so restless because I know there is no more time.
Mm-hmm.
We need to decide either to serve God or mammon. You will know when the Spirit is calling you out of the shallow Christianity about you. You will know when the Lord is wanting to touch you in a supernatural way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, saints? To those who hunger so much for the Lord, you know what attracts God to come and manifest Himself? It's hunger. It's hunger. That you will start to seek Him, and you will never stop seeking Him until He shows up. He shows up. He comes and shows Himself to you.
Amen.
I did this for so many days, weeks, months. I locked myself inside our church in the Philippines. If this is the church, on this side is our small one-bedroom house, okay? And I enjoy that house. So every morning after breakfast, I would lock myself in the church and start talking to God, going around the church, talking to Him, telling Him all my frustrations, telling Him all my desires, telling Him all the things in my heart, and asking Him for forgiveness. Amen. If I have caused Him pain. I told Him, I don't want to be a fake one, Lord God.
Amen.
I want to be the real thing. Please come and manifest yourself. You know, I left myself, okay, going there almost for 1 year. Almost for 1 year, I didn't preach. People are calling me, Pastor Karina, please, we are inviting. I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry. Please give me time. I cannot preach because right now I'm still hurt. Because I got hurt.
Mm.
I don't want to be a fake one. I cannot afford to be a fake one. Please bear with me. I will tell you when I'm ready. So I was there, telling God of all the things that are in my heart. Because I got hurt because of jealousy. They are so jealous of me, and then they destroyed me. It's okay. I don't care. But I have to deal this hurt to God. Amen?
Amen.
So I kept going around. I kept going, Jesus, I said, please show up. Please teach me to love again. I'm so hurt. I don't know how to love again. Please teach me to love again, I said. So the moment I came to the lobby of the church and then going towards the stage, I saw Him standing on the stage like this. Then He said, because I asked Him, teach me to love again. Can you give me the gift of love, but don't give it at once? Because you said faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is your love.
Yeah.
Don't give it at once. Give it to me portion by portion. If you give it at once, I might die, I said, because it's so powerful. Can you imagine that childlike faith? And then I saw Him on the stage. He said, come here, Karina. So I came towards Him. And then He sat on the third step of the stage. And He had me sat on His right. He pulled my head towards His chest and doing this to my hair. I was crying. You have asked for the greatest gift. I will give it to you portion by portion.
Wow.
And I'm going to heal you from all the pains. Hallelujah. And He did. And He did. I was a changed woman. I never depended on anyone else's destiny.
Amen.
I totally depend on the Lord.
Amen.
And then I said, Lord, good morning. What do you want me to cook for breakfast? What do you think my husband would like for breakfast? And then he would tell me. Then one time my husband lost his wedding ring.
Wow.
Okay. And he's freaking out. Okay. He's calling our children, please help me find my wedding ring. I'll give you 3,000 pesos if you find my wedding ring. Okay. So we are, you know, we are looking for the wedding ring. But it dawned on me, Jesus knows where that wedding ring is. So I said, Jesus, can you tell me where the wedding ring is? And then he told me, go to your bedroom, lift the sheet. You will find it in the spot where he's sleeping. So I did. I found it. And then I went to my husband's office. I said, you told our children you're going to give them 3,000 pesos if they find your wedding ring? Yes, I said. Yes, he said. And then I said, let me see your 3,000 pesos. So he said this to me. He was sitting on his table. He said, here. So I took the 3,000 pesos. It's your wedding ring. And then I called our kids, come on, let's go out. We'll go for coffee. You will know, okay, when he's calling you out of the ordinary. He will steal your nest. He will steal your heart. An unexplainable divine restlessness will come upon you. You will become distressed in what you have been doing. All your successes will leave you feeling empty and unfulfilled. Nothing that you have or do will meet the need in you for the reality of Jesus, the King of Kings, the precious lover of your soul. He is so real to you. Oh my goodness, last Wednesday he took me after teaching in Bible school. We spent time just kneeling and crying before God. You know what? Suddenly he's there in front of me. I'm kneeling and he's there in front of me. He took my hand and he pointed. I saw clouds of mountains up there. And then he took me up there riding a white horse, and he's riding his white horse ahead of me. And then he said, come, Karina, let's go ride this mountain cloud. And we did. Reached higher and higher. And every time he looks at me, he's laughing and smiling. Suddenly I saw myself wearing a bridal gown. Uh-huh. And he's wearing a regal blue sapphire a collar gown with a crown on his head.
Wow.
And then after that, when we reached the top, he showed me the New Jerusalem descending down.
Wow.
And all those gates are so bright. It's so bright. And that is my vision. And when we got home, I told the vision to my husband. Do you know the significance of the other meaning of the New Jerusalem? No, I said, it's the bride, Karina.
Yeah.
It's the bride. God is calling his bride. Those people who will cry out to him and hunger to him for his reality. I spent months from 12 midnight to 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. every night. For 3 months, all I see is that I'm in a forest with one kind of tree, with one kind of trunk, and that all those trees are all in mud gold. I was traveling in that forest for 3 months. After 3 months, I saw the horizon, and then Jesus. Since then, I never stopped seeking him. I'm encouraging you, try it.
Amen.
We are in the days of acceleration. I don't think you have to spend 3 months before you see him.
Amen.
We are in the days of acceleration. Just seek him, okay? With a pure heart, with a pure spirit. Amen. Okay. You will sense, okay, nothing that you have or do will meet the need in you for the reality of Jesus. The King of Kings, the precious lover of our soul. You will sense that a very deep need in you has not been met yet. Questions that have never been answered. A shadow of dissatisfaction will be cast over your entire life. This is a mark of God's dealing with you in a supernatural way, trying to get you to turn loose of all you hold dear. In His way of showing you that your needs are really spiritual, not physical. You will feel His magnetic love pulling you back to prayer, pulling you back to spiritual hunger, pulling you back to brokenness, pulling you back to self-emptying. Soon you will be touching those satisfying eternal values, and your soul will cry out and say, "This is what I've been wanting all along." He has taken away the earthly and replaced it with the spiritual. Since the key word is hunger, He has promised to fill the hungry heart. I have never been so hungry for God. That hunger almost overwhelms me at times. Every waking hour, my heart reaches out to Him, because His thoughts are always on my mind. Imagine, you know, He will tell you what He's thinking concerning that person. We are in a conference and He told me, "You see that lady, that Filipina, this is conference is in Chicago. So there are some Filipinas who attended that. And you see that Filipina lady?" He told me, "Yes, Lord. You're going to pray for him after the conference." "Lord, how can I pray for him? He doesn't even know me. I don't even know her." Imagine, I would tell that to the Lord. And then, I will just let her come to me. So after the conference, this woman approached me. "I heard you're a pastor. Can you pray for me?" So I prayed for her. And then when I prayed for her, the moment I touched her hand, I told her, "You have three kids, and with these three kids, they have their own father. And with these three men, you are not even married to them. And God is telling you right now, get rid of this man, take your children, and God will use you to glorify Him."
Wow.
He was surprised. I was surprised too when that came out of my mouth. Because after I realized that came out of my mouth, and just waiting for her to slap me. And then she started crying. She became my friend. Now she's serving full-time ministry.
Amen.
A lot of more things happen this way. You see, God will come to you and conquer you. You will be a carrier of the presence of God. And God will work through you. You know, the most powerful prayer is what David said. "I set the Lord always before me." Because that's my prayer to Him. "Father, can you go ahead of me? I love you so much that I abhor to fail you. I don't want to fail you. Please go ahead of me." So every day as I wake up, "Good morning, go ahead of me." Amen.
Amen.
That is a prayer that you want to please God always, always, because you love Him. You don't want to fail Him. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. "Because His thoughts are always on my mind. The things of the world have lost their value. I see things as Paul did, nothing but dung of this world. I am becoming a nobody, and it feels so good." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. "Do you also sense this call to a deeper walk with God? Is your soul hungry for more of the Spirit in your life? If so, end the civil war in you." Amen. "By yielding everything you have to your Master." The mystery goes the very moment you surrender all to Him. You can know through peace and happiness the moment you quit trying to be somebody. Please desire and want nothing but Jesus. The very cry and desire of your heart is Jesus, and your life will take a new meaning. Don't waste another minute, okay? Don't waste another hour, okay? My greatest grief is that it took so long for me to get out of God's way. I wasted years doing things simply out of compassion. I was spiritually blind, not knowing that God must clearly direct every step I take. I had an international pulpit, preaching to many souls with crowded altars. Imagine in Hong Kong, that big crowd, they estimated almost 80,000.
Wow.
Thank God he showed me there was much more. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The numbers and the crowd meant nothing. I wanted to see people get deeper into the Lord. That's why right now we are concentrated on intimacy, waiting on God and the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. To have that hunger and deep intimacy with God. In Proverbs 37 verse 7, the full soul loathed a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing becomes sweet. I wanted nothing more to do with shallow decisions. God had totally changed my way of thinking, and now like Gideon, I know that big is not always best. Don't let it happen to you. Take stock of your life and values. Shut yourself up with God alone in the secret closet. Pray diligently for spiritual hunger. Seek Him. Cry to Him. Ask God to give you a spirit of sorrow for wasting so much time. Pray for a greater desire for His word, for broken heart, for a purging and purifying work in your life. Then get ready to be cast into the fire of testing. In Malachi 3:3 it says, I will purge the sons of Levi. I can tell you it's worth it. The purging will not seem joyous, but rather grievous. But you will soon glorify the Lord for the result in your life. All anxiety will be gone. All the worldly ambition will die. Why? You are just depending on Him. For every breath that you breathe, for every step that you take, for every word that you're about to say. Go ahead of me, Lord. If somebody's talking to me and asking me, Lord, what do you want me to say? And He will give you the word to say. Praise God. It's not coming from you. It's coming from Him. Hello, faith.
Amen.
Your spiritual eyes will be open to the truth. Your spirit will give you revelation knowledge. It will exchange the riches of this world for the true riches of Christ Jesus. You will wake up each morning with an overflowing joy. This is very true. There will be a joy unspeakable, full of glory. You just couldn't understand it. You know, when we started the church in Cupertino, they keep telling me, how come we are so joyful? Don't you want it? I said, this is the first time that happened to us up to now. That joy remains. You know what? If you will be carriers of God's presence wherever you go, where you step in the room, okay, the atmosphere of that room, zoom, will suddenly change.
Yeah.
And then you just walk, okay? You will affect the lives of the people around you. This happened many times. Hello, saints.
Amen.
Why? Because it's not you.
Amen.
It's God resting in you.
Amen.
Into His fullness. Doing His work, letting Him be free to do His work through you.
Amen.
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 Your soul will cry out, I have found what my soul has been longing for. You will find rest, beautiful rest in the Lord. In Psalm 16:11, you can then say with David the psalmist, in His presence there is fullness of joy. At His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In Romans 14:10-12, for we shall all stand before judgment seat of Christ, so that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Okay, 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Romans 13:12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. Our foundation is Jesus Christ alone. Having Jesus, talking to him every day, telling him to go ahead of you, telling him to control your thoughts, your minds, and your will, and your emotions, telling him to control the words that you have to speak. What is that? The invasion of God's glory upon man.
Amen.
When you let him control your life, okay, oh, I tell you, you carry the glory.
Amen.
You step in the room, the glory is already there. When we are doing soaking in Cupertino, you know what? The glory comes. We are able to touch it.
Hallelujah.
This is what God is telling the church now. All the activities and plans are past. What God wants is the invasion of himself upon his people.
Amen.
Not their will being done, but the will of God being done. Why? For the preparation of this end time revival. It will be so powerful. We will not see any revival that is like this. It is an unprecedented outpouring of God's Holy Spirit upon those who have sought him.
Amen.
Upon those who cry to him. Upon those who have called to him. And let his will be done in their life. When we let that happen, it's no longer us, but Christ doing the work.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you believe that, saints?
Amen.
Thank you for the six people.
Amen.
Do you believe that, saints?
Yeah.
I tell you, you will be overwhelmed. You will be overwhelmed. Way, way, way back. Okay. The first time I prayed for a blind man. I'm so tired. I did 3 revivals in 1 city. And then I know on that third night I will be going home. But the pastor said, can we go back to another city? Just one last, pastor, just one last. Then I said, okay, but I'm so tired. I said, Lord, I'm tired. On the way, Lord, I'm so tired, I said. So we went to this woman, and she's blind, totally blind. And then she said, Pastor, can you pray for me? So I stood up. I put my fingers on her eyes. And then I just said, receive your sight in Jesus' name. And then I sat down because I'm so tired. And suddenly she said, Pastor Karina, is that you? I can see you. I can see you. You can see me. You can see me. I can see you. Oh my God. How did that happen? Because I'm so tired. You know? Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Okay? That is in 1 Corinthians 3:11 to 15. I don't have time to read all these verses. And also in Joshua 24:15, it says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Tell the Lord now. But as for me
and my family,
we will serve
the Lord.
It's time now to gather your family.
Amen.
It's time now to gather your kids, your children.
Amen.
My mom is 92 years old. She's still alive. She is a preacher.
Wow.
And she prayed for a dead woman and went back to life.
Wow. Praise God.
But you know what? My parents' business are funeral homes. Way back home, okay? But you know what? My dad became a Christian. He became an evangelist. And so a lot of people. And before he died, if we have dead people in our funeral homes forever, okay, he would tell our workers, don't touch him yet, don't touch her yet. He would call my brother and the two of them would lay hands on the head of this dead woman or dead man to ask God to bring him back to life.
Wow.
You know, if they would touch that, it will earn him a lot of money, isn't it? But, you know, his heart changed. So anyway, until, you know, he died, he wasn't able to raise anyone from death to life. It was my mom. So when my dad is gone, because before I'm managing the main branch in our city. So when my dad died, we were in Chicago during that time, putting up a church in Chicago. And then our workers called us and said, they said, Achie is the elder sister. Something happened. Yeah, what? I said, we got two dead people from the hospital, so we're about to bring them to the funeral, you know, to embalm them. On the way home, well, because there are two cars, okay, where the dead people, one dead here, one dead there, okay? These two guys just rose up. So we have to stop the car and, you know, park on the side because their relatives are following the these two cars. And then we are so scared to open the because they went back to life. So we took them back to the hospital.
Wow.
Okay. You know, I asked the Lord, I think, Lord, you did that because you honor the faith of my dad,
yeah,
even though he's not here anymore. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So with God, all things are possible. Amen?
Amen.
Wow. In Job 2:28-29, it says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all
flesh.
On what?
Flesh. All flesh.
On what?
All flesh.
What is all?
All.
All. Amen. All flesh, okay? Your sons and your daughters shall
prophesy.
Your old men shall
dream.
Your young men shall
see vision.
Your old men shall also see
vision.
Your young men also see
vision.
That is my prayer. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days.
Wow.
So we are heading for the most remarkable display of God's Holy Spirit and the magnificent outpouring of His glory upon the earth.
Hey.
And if He said, when this revival will come, it will affect all.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Today is Pentecost Sunday. This gift of the Holy Spirit that was promised and given to all believers on the first Pentecost is promised to you and your children.
Amen.
In Acts 2:39, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now, can I ask you to stand, please? I want you to listen carefully. Okay. It says in the Bible, when a man looks at a woman with lust, he is already committing adultery, isn't it? So the gift of imagination is a gift from God. Now, we will revert that. Okay? If we imagine, okay, right now, what do you want from God? do you want from God? Like, okay, example, you want your whole family be used by God, including your children mightily by God.
Amen.
Now, I want you to imagine your whole family right now is being called by God and being used mightily by God in this end time revival.
Yeah.
You focus on that. And it says, once you imagine, it is already happening. Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now I will ask you something. Do you want revival to come?
Yes.
Are we in dire need of revival?
Yes.
Amen. Now saints, okay, if possible, do this. Stay in an attitude of repentance and prayer the whole day. How can that possible? Just in your mind, okay? And in your heart. Stay in the spirit of prayer. Even if you don't open your mouth, in your mind you can speak in tongues. In your spirit you can speak in tongues. And then ask God to cleanse you, to cleanse you, to cleanse you moment by moment. And praying this in your spirit the whole day. And each day that wherever you are praying in tongues. And at the same time in your heart, you are asking God to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. Asking God to come down and send the rain of revival in our midst all Amen. Over America. Having your eyes in the Spirit opened as that as you look at your family or look at the parks or look at the streets, the grocery stores, wherever you go, your neighborhood, the schools, the whole America, around the world, as you look at them in the spirit, they are filled with people down on their knees with their hands raised up, repenting, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That revival is pouring out. That revival will come. That revival will happen. Signs and wonders, miracles and healings will happen. The things that you have never seen before will be happening. It's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. And what God has said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit. He said that. It came from His mouth. It will come into fulfillment. We need a people ready for revival. We need a people who will cry and cry and pray for revival. We need a people that always in their mind and heart and spirit, there is that revival. Revival going on. Revival happening. Revival happening. Signs and wonders, souls are being saved. Everywhere you go, you see people. People, every place you go, they're filled with people on their knees, repenting for God. Young people, children being used by God. Young people, oh, going crazy for God. Revival will be poured out. Revival is pouring out. Revival is pouring out. Revival is pouring out. Fire of the Holy Spirit is being poured out upon your family, upon the whole nation of America, upon the whole world. Let it be done. So be it, O God. Amen and amen. Let it be done. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, open your mouth. Open your mouth. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, and secondly, those who are sick and need in prayer, can you come over here? Yes, okay, you can come to your place.